This is Darius Nadowski, author of Anatomy of a Boyfriend. Instead of reading chapter 1, I'll be reading the majority of chapter 11, which is a lot more indicative of the first love theme. All you need to know is that it's narrated by 17-year-old Dominique, who is in her final semester of high school. She recently met Wes Gershwin, and suddenly all her priorities have been completely reordered. Mom has a PTA meeting the last Friday of February, so Dad and I are on our own for dinner. I feel distracted because Wes hasn't emailed me in 2 days, and my hope of ever getting together with him is at an all-time low. I know Wes is busy with his track schedule, and he can't always email me back within 24 hours, but the fact that he's not even taking the trouble to text me a quick hello is just further proof he's just not interested, as if I needed any more proof. Adding insult to injury, Dad orders up Chinese from the vegetarian place I know Wes likes. The dinner conversation isn't helping my mood, although for once, Dad's not his usual loud, swearing self. So, Dom, I've been meaning to ask you for a while now. Did that Wes boy do anything special for you on Valentine's Day? That Wes boy? It's Wes, Dad. I push the rice around with my fork. And why would he do something? It's not like we're dating or anything. After dinner, I start writing my English paper on Emily Dickinson, but I keep thinking about what Dad said. Wes didn't even mention Valentine's in his email that day. I was so disappointed. I'm still disappointed. I try again to concentrate on my paper, but every word I read or write reminds me in some twisted, far-fetched way of Wes. Parallel structure makes me think of his perfect coordination as he runs. So does onomatopoeia. I swear, I can hear the whisper of a sneaker slamming into the asphalt every time I speak his name. Gershwin, 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 Gershwin. I hold up my right hand and examine my mood ring, which Wes won for me at skee ball when I tagged along with a track team at the arcade last week. Well, technically, he didn't win it for me. He won it, and then he gave it to me because he didn't want it for himself. However, at least half the track team was there, which included 11 girls, so it must mean something that Wes chose to unload it on me rather than some other girl. The only explanation he gave was, I don't do jewelry. My writer's block is pretty insurmountable at this point, so I shut down my computer and collapse in my bed. Then I imagine Wes at a meet jumping hurdles and tripping over one of them, and tearing a ligament or two, and having to drop out of track, which would free up his evenings, which maybe he'd choose to spend with me. Wes told me he had tripped over a hurdle before, back in 10th grade. That's how he got that little scar under his eye. It's possible he could trip again. Am I evil for having these thoughts? I consider calling Amy to complain, but then I remember she's on a date, which just makes me feel more like a loser. Anyway, she'd just repeat the advice she's been giving me for the last month. A, jump him. B, ask him point blank what's going on with us. Or C, drop him like a bad habit. I tried to explain to her that I don't want to set myself up for rejection, especially in case Wes isn't sure of his feelings yet, so that rules out A and B. As for C, I can't drop him. I'm in too deep. Without thinking about it, I walk into the living room, where Dad is sitting in his armchair reading Fishing World. Then, for the first time in years, I climb onto his lap and bury my head in his chest. He puts down his magazine and hugs me. You're right, Dom? After a pause, he asks, Is it that Wes boy? I mean, Wes? I feel myself choking up, and I nod. You really like this kid, don't you? I squeak. You know, hon, if he hasn't stepped up to the plate by now, maybe he's not going to. I just know he likes me, Daddy, even if he doesn't know. I'm sure he likes you. Mom and I both thought he liked you when we met him. Really? I almost smile. But then what? Maybe he's intimidated. Guys can be real cowards. Intimidated? I sit up and wipe my eyes with my knuckles. Please, I am so nothing special. Dad asks, In what way do you think you're not good enough for this kid? It's just that I'm starting to realize I don't even know if I like myself. I have no idea who I am, and there's nothing I enjoy doing all that much. I don't have any real hobbies. You have hobbies. You love biology. I thought you were pretty sure about becoming a doctor. I take a deep breath and say, Do I want to be a doctor? If being a doctor were my true calling, wouldn't I be thinking about it at least as much as I think about Wes? Dad smiles. You know what? I think it's good you're confused about the future. That means you're open to more possibilities. You don't need to have your life planned out right now. I'm not asking to have my life planned out. I just want a life. But Wes is all I seem to think about. All I want to think about. It's like I have no control anymore over what I can think about. And it's so exhausting. But I want him, Daddy, and I want him to want me. I start bawling at full throttle. I must look like a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum, but it also feels good to let it all out. A few minutes later, when my wails wind down to sniffles, Dad asks, "Hey Dom, do you really feel you love this guy?" He chokes on love as if they were a peanut shell stuck in his throat, but just hearing the word instantly causes me to stop crying, as if I'm having an epiphany. Until now, for some reason, it has never occurred to me I might actually love Wes. I knew I really, really liked him and wanted to date him, but it seems illogical that I could love a boy I spent only a few hours alone with, especially when I'm not sure about his feelings for me. On the other hand, I do want to be with him every minute, and I'm always going out of my way to do nice things for him, and the thought of his not wanting me makes me cry. I guess I do love him. A lot, I nod. Well, it's a shame your first time's not a happy one, but you don't need a boyfriend right now anyway. Just like you shouldn't commit to a career too early, you shouldn't commit to a guy so young. I don't see anything. I lean against him a few more minutes. Eventually, I mumble, "I promise Mom I'd clean up the kitchen before she gets back. I better go do that." "Go ahead, but keep your chin up. You never know what tomorrow will bring." As I'm wiping off the countertops, I start to feel rejuvenated. Dad's right. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, which is all the more reason not to rule out Wes. Even though I met him just a couple months ago, I feel more deeply for him than anyone else I've known for years. Truth be told, Wes is the first thing in my life I've ever felt totally, completely, and viscerally passionate about and want to devote every hour of my day to. I know that sounds off the wall, but I never knew I could be this into something or someone. What's more, I've worked hard for everything I've ever earned in the past, be it good grades or SAT scores. I owe it to myself to work just as hard to win Wes's heart. Even Emily Dickinson wrote, "To love is so startling, it leaves little time for anything else." I rush to my room, turn on my computer, and allow the adrenaline to ooze from my fingertips as I compose my most personal email yet, just short of declaring my eternal love. I write Wes that I'm so grateful for his friendship because he's one of the most interesting and talented guys I've ever met. I say a day isn't complete when I don't hear from him, and a week is empty if I don't see him at least once. I finish by telling him he's one of the closest friends I've ever had, but in my heart I'm wondering if he could be even more than that. I opt not to proofread because I don't want to give myself the chance to edit down my emotions. I press send, inhale deeply, and resume writing my English paper with vigor. Of course, I still manage to check email every 3 minutes for Wes's response.